of Jesus. We come to you because you're our dad. You're the best place, the safe place, the most incredible place to come. We come to you and we thank you that we're your children. We thank you if you have welcomed us into your family. And we thank you that today we say we have ears to hear from you. We have a heart that's open to hear from you. And we are in faith because faith pleases you to receive and to be changed and to to just go about our mission today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All righty. Super excited, super excited. Last week, I don't know what I was thinking. Let's have 75 pages as notes and you can get it done in 45 minutes. So all of a sudden I looked at the clock. I'm like, whoa, come on back for part two. So today is part two of what some fantasy land thought I could get squeezed in. But we're talking about multiplication. So how many of you have ever planted a garden? How many of you ever started with seeds? How many of you just go buy the plant and stick it in the ground? Okay. So Jack used to buy the seeds, and he'd just take over the whole spa area with these seeds and grow these things and then throw them in the ground. And I'm like, man, it's a lot of work. You can go to Walmart and buy a tomato plant. So we'd put these plants in the ground, or the seeds in the ground, the plants in the ground. And how many of you that have done this, after you do all of that, are expecting one tomato off of that tomato plant? No. What are you expecting? Okay, more words. Harvest, multiply, tons, right? And usually by the end of the summer, matter of fact, many times we will set up a card table in the foyer and y'all bring your multitudes in here just to hand out because you can't do one more tomato. So would you agree you all like the multiplying? You all like the harvest. Okay, so we're going to talk about harvest today and multiplying. Harvest and multiplying, and God's big on this. God is really big on this. As a matter of fact, from the beginning to the end of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, God said, be fruitful and multiply. He's talking about multiplying, and he doesn't want, multiplying there literally meant, hey, have a whole bunch of kids, teach them to love God, have a whole bunch of people, have them honor God. But he was also talking about having this fruitful multiplying in every part of your life. In your marriage, in your business, and he's talking about, he plans this, that we would multiply, that everything we give, that he gives to us, okay, he multiplies to us, everything he multiplies to us, that we would entrust back to him. And then I'm going to use this word, and you're just going to love it. It's like better than a cherry lollipop, okay? Then you're going to, and if you let him multiply things into your life, and you surrender it, and you sacrifice it, that is when he multiplies. Really, that's how he multiplies, all right? So we're going to talk about sacrifice, surrender, and multiplying, all right? And last week, okay, so I'm going to go slow, and I'm going to do a little review, okay, so I can get you on the page. Because last week I had 3 points, and we only did point one. So last week we started talking about the miracle of multiplication. And there's two stories in the Bible. They're two different stories, but the same thing happens. It's the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, where Jesus, some little kid gives him the one in the feeding of the 5,000. He gives him 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and Jesus takes them and multiplies it, all right? So that's what we're going to start talking about today. And it was really interesting as I'd been studying this for like a month, and I'm looking at, and you'll find these stories all through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, either the feeding of the 5,000 or the 4,000. But when I went looking and I kept reading them and reading them, I was like, whoa, do you know there's 3 things that were present in both of those miracles that Jesus did so we could have multiplying? So last week we started with the 3 things that Jesus did in order to have the multiplying. And I said, and this is the challenge, if you will let these 3 things be in your life, you will live a multiplied life. So I am smarter than a 5th grader. I want to know what the 3 things are, all right? So I know you are. So the 3 things, if we have these in our life, we will live a multiplied life. And we all like multiplying, right? We like multiplying. So the first one, it says, Jesus took, the little boy gave him his five loaves and two fish, and Jesus broke them. And so that was our first one. He took the fish and he broke them. Now, I'm not even going to go through all of this, all right? Let me toss this out. So Jesus took them and broke them. How many of you would love to have a six-pack, not a beer, like this? Okay? Some days I think I'll settle for a four-pack, you know, really? Okay, but the thing is with me, and I'm sure not you, right, because y'all are so like this, I don't like to do the work or the process to get it. So we have a one-pack. Okay? All righty? But if I change and I jump in and I do the work and I do the process, I might have a four-pack, okay? All righty? So turn over to John chapter 15. There's a scripture that goes with all that. Sure, Pastor Dee, where are you going to put a scripture with that one? Okay, so get over to John chapter 15, verse 2. Jesus took the bread and he broke it, okay? And we like the multiplying, we like multiplication, but we don't always like the process. We don't always like the break-in to get to there, all righty? So listen to this scripture. He cut off every branch in me that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes. Remember me doing this last week? He prunes the branches that do not bear fruit so they will produce more, okay? This is Jesus saying, hey, there's going to be a break. There's going to be a pruning. And I don't like to say break, but I'll go with the pruning, okay? There's going to be a pruning. There might have to be a pruning if I want a six-pack, all right? There might have to be a pruning in my life if I want my life to be multiplied, if I want to live a multiplied life in every area of my life, all right? And then we talked about gardeners. And you know I'm just such a green thumb person. But good gardeners prune. They prune. All right, and they prune, and pruning doesn't look pretty after you prune it. You prune this big thing that looks like it was out of control, and then it's down to these little stubbins, and it looks like, oh my gosh, I ruined it, right? Has everybody ever pruned out a big tree? And I drive by sometimes, and I'm like, I don't know if that's coming back, because it number one, it doesn't look good. It wasn't fun, all right? But this is what Jesus is saying in this scripture. Hey, you might need some pruning. The King James says purging. The Greek means to clean self off. You might need some pruning if you want to have more fruit. If you want to live a multiplied life, you might have to prune some things back. Now, God doesn't prune you purposely with problems. He's a good, good God, and he just doesn't dump junk on your life so you think you're being pruned, okay? That's not my God, and if that's your God, well, go have fun, but that is not the God in the Bible. He doesn't prune you with bad things. How does he prune us usually? Always. Well, first and foremost, through his word. So I'm sitting around yesterday, and I'm opening up my Bible, just me and Jesus spending time, and I'm reading in the book of James. I thought, well, I don't have a whole lot of time. I could just whiz through there. That's a really easy one. It's matter of fact, the book of James is super practical. So I thought, okay, I'm going to sit there. So I'm reading the book of James, and I'm just reading this and reading this, and all of a sudden, I hear the pruning coming out, where the Lord was talking to me through the words about an attitude I had with somebody. And I was like, oh, by golly, I just got pruned, all right? Anybody ever get pruned when you read your Bible? Yeah. And anybody ever tell your spouse what you think they need to be pruned in? Yeah, okay, we're not going there. All righty. So God will first prune you. He loves to prune back and show you things. Better yet, show you things so you'll let go. And it's called pruning. Let me see what I wrote down, some really cute words. Oh, correct. You know, correct, cleanse us. And the Bible says he does that so that we would be thoroughly furnished for every good work. So I might need some of this. Anybody ever need this? Just on Saturday morning once a week, right? Okay. So we sang this, or even Nevin spoke this out. So when things break off or are pruned off, it's so we can have a breakthrough in our life, all right? Because listen, you start walking in an attitude, you start walking next. Attitudes roll into anger, roll into unforgiveness, roll into ugly. You start carrying all that, you're not going to have a good multitude or a harvest in your life. So God loves you so much that he'll give you the word, and he'll give you a spouse, and he'll give you a best friend that'll help you with this stuff. Amen. All right. Because God blesses our brokenness, because we can get where he can get us so we can live a multitude life. Let me prove it. I said the scripture last week, Psalm 51:17. For some of you, this is a review, but I got to get you all on the page. Psalm 51, verse 17. Psalm 51, 17. This is David, and he says, the sacrifice God desires is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart. And God loves it when we go, I missed it. I'm sorry. Okay? That's pruning and brokenness, okay? We talked about last week, the word that he was just happened to throw in there is sacrifice. Sacrifice. And we said last week, pretty much this culture doesn't understand sacrifice. We don't use that sacrifice word in our life, okay? And we talked about that the world, when I say the world, let me say this. People who have not received Jesus, that are not walking and understanding who Jesus is in your life, I'm going to just call them the world, okay? They are walking around with no idea of sacrifice in their life. And therefore, they have no connection to him with a commitment. No connection to him with a commitment. No connection to him with a commitment. And then I threw this wild example, and I said, what is pornography? Okay, last week, some of you going, I came to church to hear that. Yeah, okay. Pornography is a connection without a commitment. They're spending all this time on computers, and listen, it is epidemic. And I said someone corrected me, I was like, well, in the young teens to 20s. No, it is epidemic across our nation and really in the world that our people are into porn. And when you're into that, you have a connection, yeah, but you have no commitment. And if that's going on, they're not going to be able to be fruitful and multiply in their life. They're not fruitful and multiplying if they have a spouse, because they're doing all of that. And they're not. And I see that. I see that so often, and where people are just consumed in their computer and then lousy on the friend side. Okay, so they have they got a connection going, but they sure aren't committed with the things that we should be. All right, so that was last week. All right, let me move you forward. The problem when we have, we don't want to be committed in our connections is it kind of flows into our life. It flows into how we as Christians live. It flows into how you do relationships. It flows into your attitude to church, all right? And so I said, write this down. Sacrifice is the secret to multiplication. So here's the question. That little boy that had the 5 fish and the 2 loaves, guess what? He sacrificed them, and he gave them to Jesus. It was a sacrifice. Okay, because they've been there 3 days hanging out with Jesus, and maybe his mama packed him a lunch, and it's getting towards the end, and if I give my five loaves and 2 fish, I'm going to be hungry in about 3 hours, and I got to walk all the way home. That was a sacrifice, right? That was a sacrifice, and he gave them to Jesus, he broke them, and then he blessed them and multiplied them, okay? But if he didn't sacrifice, then we wouldn't have had the feeding of the 5,000. We wouldn't have the feeding of the 5,000, okay? So we're living in a time where, in a culture where there is no sacrifice going on. And yet, the secret to have living a multiplied life, and I'm going to talk more what that looks like, is you have to have a sacrifice. You have to have sacrifice, all right? So how do we build this? And I gave you the example of David, and then you can just write it down, 2 Samuel 24:24. David, I love this story, because it's us. David did some things to displease God. Anybody ever just mess up, totally blow up, do anything? Just once, right? So David did some things, and he messed up, and he displeased God, and he knew that he wanted to build an altar. An altar is a pile of stones where they would sacrifice something valuable to God, and he was doing it this time as a sacrifice and also as a repentance, to show his repentance. Now, thank goodness we don't have to find a pile of stones stones and a lamb to sacrifice to show our repentance. We simply go to God. Lord, it's that East Berlin Road when I come into church. Some lady was like so slow, and I am yelling like in the car at her. Immediately, it's that road, Michael, on the way to church, okay? Because I think you should go 60 miles an hour, and it's really not. Okay, so I'm yelling at her. Right away, the Spirit of God. So God will talk to you through the Word and your spirit that's alive. Right away. Like, I didn't even get around the corner. Oh, God. Okay, I am so sorry. That is pitiful. This and sorry, she was a little old lady, but I'm actually 65 and above, so I was like a little old lady driving a car, and I'm just yelling at her. I didn't say any bad words because I have matured a little bit, but I'm yelling. Okay? Right away, Spirit of God talks to me as a pruning, okay? And I just repent. So I told you all that story because East Berlin Road is fun to go fast on. it's this big thing. Why did I tell you the story? Let me look at my notes. I don't know. Why did I tell you that story? Oh, part three. Thank you. All right, let's jump back to David. Oh, yeah, David, thank you. So David, and I was like, David built this altar to repent, so thank goodness I didn't pull aside the road and build an altar of rocks and repent. So I just went to Jesus right away. Lord, I was pitiful. I was sad. That was bad. Forgive me. Thank you. Da, da, da. Okay, but David, I am good. I am right on this straight road. So David pulls over, and he's going to build an altar, but you know what? You just don't pull over on somebody's land. You got to own the land before you start building a rock pile, okay? He knows that. So he's looking. This is the 21st century version of that story. So he's looking for some land so he can build, have his rock piled and do his sacrifice and repent. And a friend of a friend says, hey, I own this land right over here. And David's like, great, I'll buy it from you. And the friend knows that David is doing this for something good, because he's got a repentant heart and he's going to do a sacrifice. He knows that. So the friend's like, hey, David, you don't have to pay me anything. Now, I would have said, great, now I can go buy some shoes. This will be awesome, all right? And some of you are like, good, then we can go out to have steak that night. But David didn't say that because he understood the secret for multiplication is a sacrifice. So, Second Samuel 24:24 says, he says to the guy, no, I insist on buying it, for I will not present a burnt offering, a sacrifice. I will not present a sacrifice to the Lord my God that has not cost me nothing. Okay, so he paid him. All righty. We want multiplication. We want multiplication, and we want in our life, in our marriage, in our business, and stuff like that. But sometimes there's a sacrifice, okay? And you can lower the bar, but you're not going to live a multiplied life, okay? I'm going to talk more about multiplied life. And Jesus actually set the bar high, and I'd rather jump with him. How many of you would rather jump with Jesus, okay? Just so much easier, all right? Another story. I'm only doing the review. Here we go. The other story is, and I'm not even going to read that part. David's coming back to the city. You got to get this because it's about sacrifice. It's about sacrifice so you can have a multiplied life. So David's coming back to Jerusalem, and he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant. And back then, the Ark of the Covenant was this beautiful box with the presence of God. Now, you could be like, what? Oh, no. The presence of God had been far away for such a long hundreds of years, and David's finally got the box, the presence of God, and he's bringing it back to Jerusalem, and he is tickled pink. He is super excited. The people are excited. So he's got this last stretch is an 8-mile procession, a celebration. Woo! We got the box. We got the presence of God, okay? And he's decided that every 6 steps, he is going to do a sacrifice. Now, that meant they were killing lambs, and don't get grossed out like that, okay? All my animal people, if you're not an animal, I'll tell you people. So they were like, but to him, that because he understood the value of the sacrifice. And he wanted to sacrifice this incredible thing, and it was like for the 8 miles, it was like 2,347 sacrifices because every 6 steps they stopped. and they had a sacrifice. And then they went bananas, woo, worship God. And then they do six steps and horns are blowing and tambourines or whatever they had back then. And they'd sacrifice and then they just worship God because they were getting the presence of God. David was getting the presence of God back into his life, back into his people's life, back into the kingdom. Super excited. Now, every time you decide, I'm just going to warn you, anytime you decide to live a sacrifice life different than the majority, the world, there's going to be people that don't understand you. They don't get you, okay? And then, just maybe, they start judging you and criticizing you and posted it all over Facebook, okay? Because you have decided to live a sacrifice life. You're not going to do what everybody else does. You're just going to cut, but you've just broken this stuff off so that you can have a multiplied life. So this is what happened to David. David goes and his wife is the one who didn't get it. Should read her Bible. But she didn't get it and she was judging him because not only David is this 8-mile procession and every six steps he's sacrificing. But the Bible says he was undignified in his dancing and jumping. And it says part of his clothing fell off, okay? I thought his hat fell off, his scarf and his royal robe. And his wife's going, you are the king. You don't act like that. How undignified. What are people going to think about you? But if you read in 2 Samuel 6:21, which I didn't write down. Okay, that's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't put it up there. Okay. David goes and explains to her, and I'll give you the Cashman version of this. He said, hey, listen, you don't know where I've been, woman. No, he didn't say that. You know Mr. Scott usually pokes and does that. We have a friend who does that just to poke. Okay, but okay. Y'all don't know where I've been, okay? You don't know where God's rescued me. You don't know that God has picked me out of the pit and placed me over here. You don't know when I was on the backside of the desert in the middle of taking care of smelly sheep that God knew me and called me and brought me to this place that I am now in the presence of God. That's what David's saying. That's why he's doing this undignified dance, okay? And he's sacrificing, all righty? And basically what he's saying, how could I come to God empty-handed? How could I come? Are you kidding me? Okay, and this applies to all of us. I don't know about you, but God found me on the backside of the desert where nobody knew my name, where I was just pitiful in the pit, and he called me, and he washed me off, and he gave me a robe of righteousness, and he made me one of his kids in the family of God. How could I not come and sacrifice worship to him, all right, and a whole lot more? So, high five. That was fun this morning, Nevin, okay? Turn around. Let's make faces at Nevin here. Okay. Because my prayer and our prayer every week that you would come every time you walk into this building and say, how could I come empty-handed and not worship my God, my Savior, for I just want to thank him and that he was faithful. I thank him that he's mine and I'm his, okay? Every week we stop. And we go, God, you're so good, all right? For all of us, that's a sacrifice, okay? That's the least of the sacrifices we can do, all right? Some of you are going, yeah, Pastor, that's a real sacrifice. You want me to raise my hand? But listen, remember where you come from. Whoo! I'm a puddle on the floor. I remember where I came from, all right? All right. Okay, sacrifice. All right, let's move on to point number two. So Jesus broke it. There's a sacrifice. Point number two. Here we go. We got it. We're going to space this out. So Jesus took the bread and he broke it. All right, he took the bread and broke it, number one. Number two, and he blessed it. This is a good one. Everybody go blessed it. Blessed it. I love blessed it, okay? Now, there's this absurd paradox with this blessed thing. Like, I give to God and I trust him. I give to God and I'm going to have less and he blesses. Okay, it's absurd, but it's true. All right, so he blesses it, all right? Story, 1 Kings chapter 17. Go read that tonight. Throw all your kids on the bed. Get the kids' Bible. It is just a great Bible story, okay? So 1 Kings chapter 17, there's a widow in Zarephath. And they've had this famine going on for a long time, and then we got the prophet Elijah. Is it Elijah? Elijah. Is he the J or the S? Elijah. I always get those guys mixed up. So there's this famine going on, and this widow is hanging out in the center of the town where there's probably a well where everybody gets water, but I don't know if there's any water in there because we got a famine going on, which probably means there's not been rain, and the cows are dying, and you know, you get it. So she's there, and she's there picking up sticks. There's a stick. Because she's going to make a fire and go home with her last bit of flour and oil, make a cake, and die with her son. Because they're living in a famine. So here she is. And God sends the man of God, the prophet, and he's there. And he goes, oh, can I have a cup of water? Being the renewed person, I was like, sure. But the old me is like, what? So she's like, she goes, sure. And then she says, sure. Tells me she's a giver. She's already got that in her heart. Because I would have said, what are you kidding me? I'm going to make my cup and go home and die. No, she's like, sure. So she's handing in this. And then she starts unloading her story to the man of God, the prophet. And she tells him the whole story. Hey, you know, we got a famine in the land. And all I have is a little flour and a little oil. And I'm going to make a cake. And my son and I are going to go home. And that's it. We're going to die. And the prophet says, I got to write this down. He, of course, you know, he asked for her last cake. He says, hey, why don't you make me a cake first and you can have, all right? And what did she say? God or a prophet, this is all I have. And he says, that's all I need. That's all I need. So she does it. What a woman. She goes and makes the cake, and she gives a little one to him, and she goes home, and she makes her son, and, you know, and the crazy thing that happened, for the next 2 years during the famine, her flour and oil never ran out till the end of the famine, for 2 years. Every day they were eating cakes of flour and oil, all right? Because, why? She gave a sacrifice. She gave a sacrifice of just a little that she had, and God blessed it. All right. So Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and he blessed it. All right. Sacrifice. All right, sacrifice. And now here's the crazy thing in our life. So often we hold on to what little we have, and we go, oh, I don't have enough. If I give you my flour and oil, I'm not going to have enough for my son to go home and die, which is kind of silly. But listen, let go of the little you have, and he will bless it. He will bless it. And in Matthew 15:33, Jesus asks his disciples, you know, with the feeding of the 5,000, and he goes, and they're thinking the same thing. He goes, listen, I want you to feed the 5,000 or 15, 20,000 it turned out to be. And they all go, hey, where would we get enough bread in this remote place to feed everybody, all right? The question was 2,000 years ago, it's the question today. God, where am I going to have enough resources to do this and this? God, where am I going to have enough time to do this and this? God, where am I going to have last year enough toilet paper to do this and this, all right? Where am I going to have enough, okay? God, I'd serve you, but I don't have enough time. God, I'd give, but I don't have enough, all righty? And listen, God will bless your less. If you're taking notes, write that one down. God will bless your less. This lady just had a little bit, and God blessed it, okay? And it was a sacrifice, and he blessed it. Let me tell you a story. A pastor friend, wherever, was told me this story. It's a real story. It's a real guy. And this guy's name is Dave. I can only give you that much. And by the way, God works in layers. He just doesn't grab you and say, you're a mess. You know, in my journey with Jesus, it's like a peel off a little bit of this and peel off of that. And, you know, it's good because he loves you. Because I would have had a stroke and a heart attack on the spot. And he loves you. He just kind of peels things off, okay? So this is my friend, church. It's a very large church. And this is this guy at his church named Dave. Dave owned this big business, and he's super successful. He's making six figures, but Dave's got a problem. Well, one thing. He had lots of money, but he'd spend lots of money. So he was always tight on money. He'd buy 4 motorcycles. and then he'd spend. So he was always, you know, where do we go? Living from paycheck to paycheck. But, you know, he was making 6 figures, okay? So Dave, God starts dealing on his heart, and Dave just sells the business. You know, there's some few things that were going on we won't get into. He sells the business, and he's got some debt, too, because he wasn't really good in business either. Okay, but prior to that, he's a believer. He's received Jesus into his life, and the Lord started dealing with him way back again. I want you to tithe. I want you to tithe 10% of all that you earn. And he's like, you know, I really didn't do that. Occasionally I toss. Okay, so I have to say that. All righty. So then he sells the business, and he's trying to pay off debt. All righty. And the church hires him to be their janitor and everything else, you know, everything else. He pick up a shovel and this and that. So, and he's not making 6 figures at the church. Okay. I'm not making 6 figures at the church, all right? He's not making 6 figures, all righty? And the Lord, again, starts impressing on his heart, I want you to tithe 10%. The tithe, I want you to present it, sacrifice it to me. One, it belongs to me, but I want you to sacrifice it to me. I want you to present it. I want you to give it to me. And Dave's like, are you kidding me? I have more bills than I have income. Anybody ever had more bills than had income? Been there, done that, all righty? But he starts doing that. And he said, the craziest thing happened. All of a sudden, I started instead of negative in my account, I started having $1 left in my account. And then I started doing this regularly. And then I'd have, you know, like $100 in my account. He says, God just started blessing me in just ways I couldn't imagine. One of them, he tells a story that his brother knew this guy. And the guy heard about Dave, that Dave had a truck license. What's that, a CD? Yep, he had one of those, and the friend had a startup company, and he needed some truck drivers to do some part-time. And the truck driver company said, I'll pay you $37 an hour to drive truck. And by the way, he didn't make that at the church either. So he started working part-time, driving the truck here, okay? And God started doing things like that. Then his wife got this $17,000 check in the mail randomly for a company she worked for 15 years ago. I was like, what? Okay. And this is what he heard. This is what happened to Dave. If I put God first with my less, he will bless. If I put God first, he can't talk him out of it. He just knew that. And it was just crazy. Every month, the little he had actually started going farther. Sound like that widow lady. You know, every month, the little that he had just started going farther. And eventually, he got out of debt. So here's what I've discovered. Here's what a lot of you discovered. 10% in God's hands is better than 100% in yours. How many of you know it? You have a testimony to tell. I know so many of you. You live this life, you know, you just do it, and it's just better than I'm holding 100% and things aren't going good. So challenge, okay. How about if you sacrifice the little, okay, and let go, he can bless. But if you don't sacrifice and you hold on, I'm telling you, it just doesn't work. Amen? Y'all know that, all right? So some of you, okay, so I'm saying all that. Some of you are thinking, okay, Pastor D, okay, I know that. God's been dealing my heart. I just heard what you said, and God deals with my heart, and I'm hearing what you said. But where do I start? Where do I start to do this, all right? All right? And Jesus had the same questions. He asked the disciples, how many loaves do you have? You know, what do you have? And they said, 5 loaves, 2 fish. So just start. So this is like, I know God's dealing with me. I know it's the word of God. But where do I start? Just start with what you have. And I have had more people tell me, I don't know, oh my gosh, I'm sweating bullets. But I can start with 3%. And I've had a lot of people said, you know, that 10%, that tithe, you know, because they're holding on to everything they have, and they haven't let go yet. So they start letting go like 3 fingers. 3%. And they tell me, Pastor D, then I started, things started getting better. And then I was up to 5%, 6%, 10%. And I know a bunch of you are just past all of that, all right? God will bless and multiply if you present it to him. Okay? Amen? Alrighty. If you're taking notes, write this down. This is a zinger, so everybody smile. Ready? This is a good one. Here, ready? Are you sowing where you want to go? Are you sowing where you want to be going? Are you sowing where you want to be going? All right? Some of you, it took some sowing to get into debt. Been there, done it. Some of you, you have sown seeds into the ground for a really not good relationship. And this is where you back up and you go, whoa, I'm going to stop sowing those kind of things and having that kind of harvest, all right? So you have to kind of rip them out and say no. And the Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap from the flesh. If you sow from the Spirit, you'll reap from the Spirit. If you sow with God speaking in this word, you're going to reap some good stuff, okay? I have a friend, I was talking to her this past week. She pastors a church up around Hershey, and we were talking about church, and we were talking about, somehow we got on the conversation about the app we have, Text to Give, which I've done once, okay, and but I give. Okay, yeah, I give. Because I tried to go back in, and I missed a step. So I just write checks, and I get checks for free. So, okay. But we were talking about this, and I was like, yeah, I know how to do it. Yeah. And she said, listen to this. She says, you know, sometimes when I feel like the devil is just pouncing on me, sometimes when I'm just feeling down, I get out my text to give, and I text, not a lot, $5, and I send it off. And I go, there, devil. Okay. Because she understands, like the circumstances that are going on, she's not going to surrender to the devil. She said, I am going to live a sacrifice life, and I'm going to surrender my sacrifice to the Lord. And I know that he loves me. I know that he's going to multiply. I know that he's going to bless me. And she says, that's what I do. Damn, damn. So hey, have fun. I think that was, like, crazy. I like that. I mean, so I just heard the surrendered heart, like, y'all, devil, you're not going to do this to me. I'm just going to show you, all right? So some of us need to make room to multiply in our life, okay? Some of you, maybe God's been dealing with you to serve, all right? To be a part and to use your gifts. And you know, you're thinking, yeah, but we have a pandemic. I don't know. Okay, listen. We have a bunch of people because of this pandemic that are not able to come back to church right now. So we're a little light on volunteers in some departments, okay? So now is a great time to use your gift and serve. Ta-da! Jason, everybody turn around and look at Jason. Jason and Michelle over there, they're serving in the, what's it called now? Where's tech department. We used to call it the sound booth. We rebranded, okay. All right, so there's a big joke behind that, all right? And maybe you don't like to get up and do announcements here, but you love that computer thing. Give me a button and I'll press it. You can serve. Serve once a month. It's real easy, okay? Maybe you're not good with computers, okay? And my Jason, my answering machine downstairs, I can't get that thing to work, okay? But maybe God's putting on your heart to serve in children's ministry once a month, okay? Or twice, once a month, okay? Come see Miss Stacy or me or, where's Heather? Heather. She's downstairs, okay? Go downstairs and see there, all right? Maybe, I don't know. Where's Brent? Where'd he go? We have lawn cutting season coming up. Okay. I love a riding mower. You know why? When my kids are little, I couldn't hear them. Gone to the world. I have this lady that called me up. She says, I don't get on those mowers. She says, but I love my weed whip. I'm in love with my weed whacker. Come, okay, once a month, twice a month, three times a month, whatever, okay? Yeah, use your gift, okay? Use your gift. God's placed gifts in you, guys. And yes, okay, so moving on. Some of you, maybe it's time to make time, all right? And you're like, oh, I don't have enough time. Well, maybe you have to eliminate some things, all right? And then you'll be able to do some things. I just remember times in the past when Jack was around, we knew we were going into a season, like a 3-month season, and we had a schedule that was just packed full. And we'd sit down and we'd do eeny, meeny, miny, mo. You know, we talk about what we could move off the schedule because we valued what we were going into. And you know, it was really funny. We decided we just put God first and we moved some things aside. All right. It took a couple of days discussion. Okay, but we did that. All righty. Okay, third and final thing. Here we go. So Jesus broke it. He blessed it. And the last one, this is the fun part, he multiplied it. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. What I really want to emphasize is he multiplies. He multiplies, okay? Because at the end of the day, that little boy with the five loaves and two fishes, he couldn't multiply. Abracadabra. Okay, he couldn't do that. Okay, he did have a part. He presented it. Okay, and then God was able to work. Okay, because at the end of the day, who multiplied it? Jesus. At the end of the day, I don't have to figure out how I'm going to multiply it. Okay, I can't multiply my time. We got 24 hours in a day, and you know, in some days I just can't multiply my money if I'm trying, because I know what my check is, all right? But that's God's job. Everybody say that's God's job. Amen. All right, I'm gonna have one more fun thing for you to write down. Ready? Sacrifice is transferring ownership. Mine, yours. Okay, all righty. Sacrifice. Listen, when I give to church, there's my sacrifice. I'm transferring the ownership to what's going on financially at the church. All righty. And some of you, you know, like, okay, this is where it should be. I am going to take, this is my sacrifice, and I'm transferring it over to the church. And I may not know where every penny goes. We just got a bill for like $500 for light bulbs, okay? Yeah, you may not know that. And the heating bill. You may not know all that stuff, okay? And if you think you need to know, come and see me, okay? But for the most part, do you need to know, all right? Because really what I'm saying is I'm taking this sacrifice to the Lord of mine that he, by the way, he blessed me with it anyway. I'm going to take my sacrifice and I'm going to transfer the ownership to him. And he can multiply it, all right? Praise God, praise God. In the Old Testament, they knew this. In the Old Testament, they would make a sacrifice, and their sacrifices were always the most precious, valuable things that they had. And they had herds. They had sheep and cows, and I don't know if they had goats, okay? Those were their most precious things. And in the days of the Old Testament where you took your most precious, valuable thing, you took it to the temple. You took that lamb to the temple to be sacrificed to the Lord, and that's where you transferred the ownership, okay? And then God came in, and you're like, God, thank you. You've blessed me with so much. You've done so much in my life, so I'm going to transfer this over to you, and he multiplies it. And besides, everything you have is because he gave it to you, so I'm just giving it back, right? Just giving it back, all right? So they understood that in the Old Testament. So close your eyes, bow your heads. Here we go. I don't know about you, but I want to live a multiplied life. Just raise your hand if you close your eyes. No one's looking. Just say, I want to live a multiplied life, okay? But I will warn you, you have an enemy that would love to delay your destiny. He would love to delay your obedience, okay? And you have to, listen, you can look at me 1 second. We taught our kids, and where's Michelle? Where's Michelle? Where's Michelle? Oh, sound booth. What do we say? My feet obey the first time. What is it? You know, we taught our kids, yes, daddy, I obey the first time. Yes, mommy, I obey the first time. Not because I'm on my kids, because I wanted nice kids to live with, okay? But listen, I was training them to hear the Lord. And then when the Lord spoke to them, yes, daddy, I obey the first time. And then there's your sacrifice, and you just jump in and do it, all right? Okay, now close your eyes. Okay. That was a good golden nugget on raising kids. Yes, I obey the first time, okay? The first time, not the third time or the tenth time. Not when I scream, all right? Hallelujah. Guys, I know that everybody, I know that God will deal with everybody different in here. For some of you, it is the Lord's dealing with you to serve and to serve faithfully. For others of you, it's to give and to give faithfully. Some of you, it's God's just dealing on you to come on back and no shame, but it's time to jump in and get all back with the Lord, all right? So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Most of you know this here, but I'm going to ask you a question. Can you remember a moment in your life when you said, God, I surrender my life to you. Jesus, I ask you to be Lord of my life. If you can't, today's your day. Some of you, you've done that, but you've just pushed the Lord away. And I'm just going to say, would today be the day where you say, Lord, I'm coming back. I'm surrendering my life again back to you. All right? Now, I am not asking you to join our church, but YCF is a great place to be. And I'm not asking you if you grew up in a Christian home. High five to your parents. Okay, I'm not asking if you were baptized. Those are all good things. But on the day you stand before the Lord Jesus, there's only one thing. Have you surrendered your life to me? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to him except through Jesus. All right, he's the door, he's the gate. Right? So again, I'm going to ask, can you remember a day where you surrendered your life? And if you can't, I'm telling you, today's a good day. And I know many of you here, you have already done that. All right? So if you haven't done that, and today you're like, I'm all in, I'd like to pray with you. Those of you that have already prayed this, would you pray this along with them? All right? Say this, Father God, thank you for the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. Woo! Thank you that you hung on the cross and died for me. You became sin and paid my price so I could be forgiven and right with you. So today, I surrender my life. I give you my life. And I thank you for coming into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, everybody look at me. If you prayed that for the first time, heaven goes bananas. It says they celebrate when one person just comes back to the Father's love, all right? If you prayed that for the very first time, or you were one of those that it had been a long time, you forgot, come up and tell me. I have a really good mini book to hand out to you. If you'd like some prayer for anything, we love to pray the word over you. We love to just give you the word so you can feel and know that you're strong in the Lord. I've got some elders that'll be up front. Why don't you all stand? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. It has gone forth. It will change. It will transform. And it will take us to the places that we need to go. And I call these people blessed coming in and blessed going out. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great weekend. Remember, this Saturday at 10 a.m. is the Celebration of Life for Gail Waddell. And 11 o'clock is the service. Okay, the service part. It's 10 o'clock is the visitation. Amen.